Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best.
Yay, I'm glad to be here. Hello and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and I am thrilled to be here for another episode. Yes, my studio is in progress, so keep tuning in because I swear it's gonna get better. I'm like doing a whole thing on the walls and it's gonna be awesome. So if you're just listening though, welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. And I don't know, I'm just taking a deep breath. I've been a little tired today, and like I just allowed myself some space to be. And that is something that we're going to talk about today, like that beautiful space of allowing and how important it is. And anyway, it just struck me today because that's where I was at. And that is something that our guest talks about too. And so without any further ado, let's get to it with James McCray. James, I'm so excited that you're here. You are an author, a teacher, and a meme poet. You go by Words Are Vibrations, which I am a huge fan of your Instagram. And you have a new book that's coming out in February called The Art of You, all about conscious creativity. And it is available now for pre-order, correct?
That's right.
Yes. You have a really nice paragraph in your book that kind of gives a background of you. Can I read it?
Please do.
Oh, okay, cool. This is quoting you. You say, "I've been an artist my whole life, starting with my childhood in a small Minnesota town. Sometimes I've been paid for my work. Sometimes I've done it only because I had no other choice. Something inside me wanted to come out. I've created advertising campaigns for big brands. I've scrawled poetry during my lunch break while working odd jobs and making minimum wage. I've graduated from art school and worked as a professional graphic designer. I've filled stacks of notebooks with musings that nobody will ever read, and I've created memes that have gone viral around the world. I've been a starving artist, and I've led advertising teams on Madison Avenue. I've been rejected by countless book publishers, and I've written best-selling books that were translated into languages around the world. I've been a painter, recorded a spoken word poetry album, made more mistakes than I can count, and gradually learned how to grow an audience and turn my creativity into a business. Today, I work with clients and teach classes on conscious creativity. I'm also the founder and host of Sunflower Club, a podcast and global community dedicated to creativity as a tool for personal healing and social transformation. All of these experiences, though not always successful, were instrumental in shaping who I am as a human and a creator. And somewhere along the way, I learned how to claim the identity of an artist." I think that we can say they're successful because here you are as an artist.
Thank you so much. Thanks for reading that. First of all, it's great to see.
Is it weird to have it read back to you a little?
You know, when you write a book and you live with it inside of your own head for so long, and then when it comes out and lives in other people's minds and in their words, it's beautiful to hear.
How long did this book take you?
Oh, goodness. I mean, the writing of it is like a year, 2 years, but then there's all the, you know, the publishing world is a slow moving process. So it's, it takes even longer for it to be produced and released. And so
a few
years in total.
When did you start?
I started this book in the summer of 2021.
That seems pretty fast to me, you know, in the big picture of like how long a creative thing takes.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know in my own experience, some things have taken a really, really long time. And sometimes I look back and think, if I had known it was going to take that long, would I still have done it?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah, it's like a road trip, right? The first leg of it is kind of exciting, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, I'm doing something new. I'm on the move. I've got my coffee. I've got my tunes. And then 8 hours later, you're like, I'm still going and the music is no longer inspiring. And yeah. It starts to become annoying. But no, I mean, this book really wanted to come through me. Like I honestly started it. So I was working in advertising for many years as a graphic designer and then as a brand strategist. I was running a branding department of this creative agency out of New York. And what happened was my agency was acquired by a big technology company and they were no longer going to be doing branding. So my whole department was dissolved from the
company. I was
going
to say,
company.
It doesn't seem like they would keep you, but yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I just sat down the day after this layoff. I sat down and I just, instead of looking for another job, I just opened myself to listen to the universe for what was trying to come through. It's like this I was like, this is happening for a reason. So what is the universe making space for in my life that I can invite in?
Yeah.
And I just sat with that question, not even for very long, like 10, 15 minutes. And then like the outline of this book started to come through, which was like, how can I explain the creative process in a way that really almost like scientifically and methodically breaks it down into what goes into the creative process.
Yeah.
And it really, and I started to like unpack this idea of like the yin and the yang of creativity, which is like the yin is the art of being receptive and listening to the muse and is kind of the spiritual parts of cultivating the intuition for creativity to enter. And then the yang are it's more of the masculine action oriented doing parts of the creative process where you're actually making the art. And I think that both the yin and the yang are so essential to the creative process. And the book really, it's divided into the two sections, the yin and the yang of creativity. So kind of it explains the creative process from the beginning to the end, no matter what form of medium your art takes. It could be, you know, you could be a traditional artist or a writer or a novelist or a poet, or, you know, even I think launching a business is art and, you know, hosting a podcast is art. And I have friends that host dinner parties that are a form of art.
Yeah.
So for me, creativity is more about living consciously and intentionally, regardless of what form your expression takes.
I agree. And is that how you would define art? The form that your expression takes? Is that what art is?
I think art is art is anything that you are able to actualize into existence. So anything that doesn't exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there. And then with your own intention and effort and style, you bring something to life. So it's essentially the process of actualizing your ideas, whatever form that idea takes.
Yeah.
Manifesting something into the physical world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you really like talk about in the book, and I didn't have time to finish it, but I did give it a really good skim, especially like the first, I don't know, 150 pages. But is you talk about like not caring about talent and that everyone is an artist. And 100%, if we're human, we are creators and we are artists. And you emphasize that because I just want to say that, like if anybody was listening or, you know, wondering about it, like, yeah, you too. This means you.
Yeah. One thing I like to say is that it's not about being good at creativity. Mm-hmm. It's about creativity being good for you.
I totally pulled that little quote that you had in there. I love that.
So I believe in extracting capitalism from creativity. And that's not to say creativity can't be sold and like, you know, artists deserve to be paid for their work. And if you're talented, you should be able to sell your work, whatever that is, a book or a music or a painting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the ultimate point and reason to be creative. I think creativity is about having sovereign consciousness. It's about reclaiming your own energy and being an independent thinker. And to do that and to create is, it's cathartic. It is, I believe it's a healing modality, because I think that when we go through life, a lot of things happen and we get, whether it's trauma or, you know, negative emotions that we feel in the body, and creativity gives us a chance to purge them through expression. So there are all kinds of ways you can purge toxins. You know, you can go into a sweat lodge and sweat them out. You know, you can drink plant medicine and vomit them out. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something similar.
Done those, yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
But there's something similar to the creative process where you're actually, you're excavating your inner world, mm-hmm. and you're finding that this stuck energy, you're finding where are your emotions stuck, where do you feel pain or darkness, and you're consciously investigating your inner world, and you're bringing it to light through the expression. So I think that is something that is human nature, and I think there's a healing aspect to it.
Yeah.
So I don't like to always judge creativity by the skillfulness of the output. Certainly, you know, skill has its place, but I think that it's more important to open up a platform for people to express themselves and create their art, whatever it is, just so they can get in touch with themselves and, you know, step more fully into their purpose.
So I totally agree. And I mean, like, skill takes a backseat to authenticity mm-hmm. and truth and really like expressing exactly what you're saying. Last night, okay, this is so dumb, but we've been watching The Golden Bachelor. And so you have? Okay. So did you watch the most recent episode where they had to do a talent show?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I don't know if it's most recent when this comes out, but anyway, the one where they had a talent show, and you know, there was a woman who had like skill with dancing, and I mean, she tried really hard, mm-hmm. but then the woman that ended up getting the date, spoiler alert, sorry y'all, and for the Golden Bachelor, but the woman that ended up getting the date wrote a poem. And she was like, I'm not a performer, but she just came from her heart. And that's what that reminded me of. Like, it's those times that you just really speak from your heart. And sometimes people don't know where to start. And for me, I know that sometimes I just have to sit there for a second and like see what I'm really feeling rather than like craft what I either think people want to hear or maybe what my skill set is.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you know, even if you want to be a quote unquote good artist, you've got to be a bad artist first.
Damn right, I mean, James. Damn right. Like, so many people want to be immediately good, yeah. but your first effort is never good if you'll just face that fact.
Yeah. So, I mean, not everyone can be like a Mozart who was like an 18-year-old prodigy and like was making beautiful music as like a teenager in early 20s. You know, people are on their own trajectory. And I think you need to be bad at something before you can become good at something. It's like, I've got friends who are comedians and they always say like, no, it takes years to be a good comedian.
Right.
And the most important thing is just to get comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
And really get comfortable bombing and making mistakes and embarrassing yourself. Because as soon as you're comfortable failing and bombing, then suddenly you're finally ready to do something interesting mm-hmm. And actually improve and be good at it because you've just worked up that confidence and that comfort level on stage, which can take a long time.
Yeah, you know what? That was one of my questions too, was about the habit of this, like how much of this is a muscle, you know, and I think you have a chapter on inspiration as a habit mm-hmm. and it is, I've read, one of my favorite books is, Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art. And, you know, he talks about calling in the muse every single day and the habit of it. And I'm sure you know that book. And, so, you know, like there's just the doing it, the doing of it.
Yeah.
Which seems counter to like this flow and creative, but it is just like the...
Well, I say it like this. I think that if I could distill the creative process down to the two most important steps,
okay,
one from yin and one from yang, mm-hmm. The most important yin stage is just to cultivate your own intuition. And that's like listening to the muse and being able to, you know, download ideas to inspire you.
Yeah.
And then the next most important step is showing up with dedication and commitment. And I think those two are actually connected, because the way I look at it is the muse will speak to you if she knows that you are a trustworthy receiver of her insights. Meaning, if you take what the muse gives you and you put in the effort to actualize it and to follow through on it, the muse develops trust in you. And then the muse will come back with more ideas. You know, if you get ideas and you feel inspiration and inspired by your insight and by your intuition, but you never do anything with it, pretty soon the muse is just going to be like, I can't really trust that person. I'm not going to whisper my secrets in their ear anymore because they don't follow through. So I actually think that the more you follow through and the more you show up, the universe or the muse knows that you are someone who can be trusted, and they'll continue to give you secrets and ideas and insights that you can bring to life.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that we sell inspiration short a little bit, because it's actually literally fucking everywhere in front of us all the time, if we'll just pay attention, you know? So like thinking that, you know, oh shit, I haven't been showing up enough, now I'm not going to be, you know, bestowed this, is can hold us back sometimes. Would you agree with that? And like, the inspiration is here if we'll just do it.
Well,
just pay, yes. Just open your eyeballs.
Yeah. A couple quotes come to ears. Mind. Picasso said that, inspiration exists, but it has to find you working.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the painter Chuck Close said that...
big fan of Chuck Close. I was just talking about him the other day.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
But he said that inspiration is for amateurs, and the real artists just get up and go to work every day.
I mean, I kind of like get that. I think of sometimes in my life when I was like, more working on a deadline, because I used to be a musician. And so there were times when you had to go into the studio and you didn't have anything and you're like, well, fuck, you know, I've got to do something. And I remember hearing something and just thinking, I can think of one in particular. And like, I was like, well, I need a pre-chorus. I like that. What can I take from that? It's like that steal like an artist vibe. Yeah. And which is a reference to Austin Kleon's book, Steal Like an Artist. And, yeah. So, I mean, I guess you've got like, how do those fit together?
Well, and I see it like, you know, lightning will strike.
Yeah.
Like I think of inspiration, like lightning striking, like something that just happens out of nowhere. But what I say is that if you want lightning to strike, it might strike. But if you're inside on your couch, not doing anything, the lightning is going to strike outside.
Yes.
So what I say is like, you need to get out in the storm.
Yes.
And
yes.
like get into the mix and for the lightning to strike. So it's not about sitting around and waiting for the muse and then taking action. It can be, but it can also work the other way, where you take action and then the muse will come in and become your ally when you dedicate yourself to the to the process.
I mean, if I'm talking about that time I was just referencing, I booked the studio time. Yeah. I paid for it. Yeah. I showed up. That's action. And so you're moving in the direction that you want to ultimately go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ideas are cheap in a way, you know, the insights are important and ideas are important, but if you can't, you know, following through and being committed, like that's, you know, that's important for any path, you know, really dedicating yourself. And like, I dedicated myself to being an artist and a poet years ago before it was remotely realistic, you know, when I was still living in a small town in Minnesota with 4,000 people and, you know, going to college at all was, you know, something that not everyone was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And being an artist didn't seem realistic. It didn't seem possible. And I made a commitment to doing it. And I looked at other artists and influences in my life, like the poet Allen Ginsberg and Walt Whitman. I kind of consider myself part of the lineage of American poets such as them. And I'm like, well, if they could find their way to do it, you know, why couldn't I find my way to do it as well? So I dedicated myself to the path of the artist and the path of the poet at a young age before it was realistic. And it didn't really, you know, manifest itself fully for, it took decades for that to fully be formed. But I think that it's similar, you know, the journey through life is similar to the creative process where you start out not knowing exactly where you're going to end up or how you're going to get there. It's kind of like venturing into a dark forest and you've only got like a little flashlight and you can only see one step ahead of you. And one step at a time, the path is revealed. And then it turns out that you're actually creating the path yourself.
Such a good analogy. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the, for me, that's the creative process. It's a journey into the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's an analogy for, you know, life.
It is.
So I think that, you know, dedicating yourself to a creative practice, whether you're an artist or not, it will help you in other areas of your life. It will help you learn to navigate the uncertainty of the world, especially when we look at the world today, when everything is so uncertain and the economy is changing rapidly and artificial intelligence is coming in and there's all kinds of inflation and a lot of change happening and a lot of uncertainty. And I think creativity gives us the independent sovereign consciousness to navigate the unknown mm-hmm. and to create a new path and a better world. Yeah. So I see a creativity as being essential to making the world a better place and to navigating the uncertainty ahead of us as a civilization.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Are you ready to uplevel your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure, with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the Cervix Wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com. That's W-A-A-N-D-S.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too. Magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there. Or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off. Speaking of AI, how are you feeling about that as an artist? I mean, what's your view? Because I think sometimes people can get pretty negative about it. And
yeah, personally, I'm excited about it. I think any new technology can be extremely disruptive. Mm-hmm. I think that AI cannot replace human creativity. Mm-hmm. I see it as being more of a tool that artists can use. So I don't see AI replacing art or human artists in any way. What it is, it provides a new playing field for artists to experiment with. So mm-hmm. I think artists should embrace it. I think that the same way computers, you know, at one point may have, you know, posed a threat to creativity. Yeah. And now you see, even like social media is such an exciting place for creative expression, mm-hmm. whether it's people doing reels or making memes or writing little essays that can be sent out to tens of thousands of people in an instant. You know, I think it gives a lot of power to our artists to not only create, but to distribute their work at scale. So it's hard to say where the AI, is going. It's still so early in that, but I think artists should embrace it as a tool, rather than, you know, complaining about it or trying to, I think that, it expands the playing field and what's possible for life and for art.
You're a really good example of working with social media, working with what we've got in front of us. And I'm a big fan of that too. I went to this like rock and roll fantasy camp a long time ago, and there were some old rock guys there, and they were just bitching about streaming and all the way things were moving, you know? And like, it's A, not a great look, and B, you're just going to get out of touch. And I like that, you know, you're encouraging people to embrace it, because that's when you look at it through that lens, like when people complain about TikTok, let's say, or whatever, but I'm like, oh my God, I go on there and I'm like, I love people. Holy shit. I don't know if it's just my algorithm or what, but like, I'm so excited about the things they create and encouraged and like mind blown from the things people come up with.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that if you look back at art history or, you know, literary history or just human history, the most relevant art that comes to define any age is always made with the commonplace tools and technology of that time. Mm-hmm. And you can look back and see how the media has always affected the art and the creativity. Like one example would be like in the 1960s when Andy Warhol began making his silkscreen canvases of Campbell's soup cans and Marilyn Monroe. You know, initially the art establishment was really against what he was doing. They didn't consider it real art. It was just like he was reproducing pop culture images. And it was something, but it wasn't art in the way that they considered art at that time, which was more this like abstract expressionism, and like, yeah, Jackson Pollock, like flinging paint on a canvas. And Warhol wasn't even touching a canvas at all. He was using machines to silkscreen canvases. Mm-hmm. And now you look back on the 60s and 70s in art history, and Andy Warhol is considered one of the most essential artists of the century. Or, you know, soon after him, Jean-Michel Basquiat was a graffiti artist.
Yeah.
And like he that was vandalism. That wasn't art. He was spray painting subway cars. Like, you call that, this is the new art. But he was using the commonplace tools and technology of his era in the 80s in New York City. And he took that and he took what was just street graffiti and he transcended it and made, elevated it into high art. So I see that with social media. I think social media, that is the tools and technology of our time. That's the new town square where people meet to share ideas. And
is it your gallery?
It's your gallery.
Yeah.
And it's an interactive
gallery. We call it that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an interactive gallery where, you know, you can post something and within seconds, you know, depending on how it does, you know, tens of thousands of people can see it and respond to it in real time. And that's just so exciting. That's a power that no artist in human history has ever had before. And now we all
right? How amazing is that?
Right. So that's why my book is called The Art of You, because I think social media really amplifies the ability to create art in your own image, whatever that is. It could just be bringing out the art that is your natural expression.
Yeah.
Whether that's just talking to the camera or, you know, if you want to hide behind, not hide behind, but doing more like writing or, you know, making memes. Like there are so many different ways to express yourself on social media where everyone can really create the fullest manifestation of their own purpose.
Yeah.
Through the types of content they choose to make. So I think AI will be similar where, you know, there'll be, it'll just be a whole new area, but it's going to be the common tools and technology of the future. So that's where the most meaningful art is going to come from whatever people are just using right in front of them. They might take it for granted. But
like, you know, social media,
right,
probably.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then in history, you know, social media will expand into something else. I feel like it's going to evolve in its own way. So when people look back in a few decades from now at 2023, you know, they're going to be like, oh, that's when everyone was using Instagram and social media. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a specific period of time. And I think it's fun to play around with what we have to express ourselves and be creative.
What do you see coming in the future?
Oh, God.
Do you think you could have predicted like where you're at now? Like, did you feel that coming? And then what do you see next?
In terms of technology?
Or in terms of what everybody's doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I think the future has never been harder to predict because the rate of novelty that we're being introduced to is increasing at an exponential rate. Yeah. So I can tell you that the future, and by the future, I mean 2-3 years from now, is going to look significantly different than it does now because there's such an increasing rate of novelty and change and, you know, new things happening at an increasing rate. But it's so hard to predict what direction it's going to go in. You know, I think that things like, you know, the intersection of AI and artificial intelligence or AI and virtual reality. I think there's going to be a lot of new things happening that are going to be very foreign. And I think that it's so important to, I want to say brace yourself for change.
Yeah.
But really, I want to say open yourself to change. I want to say open yourself to the possibility of, you know, things not being the way that we have grown accustomed to. And I could mean in every way, you know, like things change throughout history, and they're only going to keep changing, and they're going to keep changing faster and faster. And again, this is why I think creativity is so important, because creativity is, in a way, being comfortable with the unknown. So I think opening ourselves up to the unknown and consciously navigating where we're going and not just passively reacting to what's happening around us, I think is going to be so important moving into the future.
Has being an artist made you more accepting of all this?
Yeah, I guess.
Of change, I mean, of the unknown.
I guess so. You know, in a way, I'm always, one of the things I'm always most excited about is when I am exposed to new things. And that.
I can tell. Yeah. It's an optimism. Have you had to foster that, or was that like something more natural in you?
Optimism?
Or just an the optimistic excitement about, you know, what's to come and the unknown. And
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it probably has something to do with being creative, and I just am always excited when there's like new sounds and new experiences, and maybe I reincarnated from the future where I where I was used to some things being a lot different and weirder and wilder, because I'm kind of accepting of that, and also. I just know that, you know, when people are apprehensive of change, it's usually because, you know, a certain amount of like clinging to what is known, not necessarily clinging to what is good. Like there's a lot of things in our world that are not perfect, that should change. You know, there's a lot of suffering in our world. There's a lot of things that could work better, whether that's financially or in the government or in foreign policy,
big scale and small scale, whether yeah. it's our own day to day or whether yeah. it's like the whole world.
So change isn't automatically good, but it opens up the possibility to affect our reality. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of kicking open the door of what's possible. So those of us who are able to navigate that through creativity, navigating the unknown, can plant new visions into the collective consciousness that can take root and grow into the future. So for me, that's an exciting possibility. Instead of clinging to what the way things have been, I love the idea of embracing what can be so we can make the world a better place in every way.
Kicking open the door to what's possible.
Totally.
Kick that shit open. I love it. Totally. I love that. Okay. Let's see. You talked a lot about, you know, I think the anti to that is being like, and what you were talking about is we do get trained by society to suppress our creativity. And so while you were talking too, I wondered if, you know, there's a way to train ourselves. And you kind of talk about that in the book of essentially training ourselves to let our creativity out more, mm-hmm. which I love so much. And mm-hmm. one of the things that you talk about in that is being real still and quiet and that yin side of things.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that come naturally for you?
Well, I think it's essential. You know, I think that we are, and we meaning, I don't know, Western civilization.
Yeah.
Have been in this kind of hustle mentality for a long time. And,
for sure.
You know, even our schools are engineered to create, you know, obedient factory workers rather than, you know, creative entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. you know, like literally we're being trained to like get in line and file into, you know, the socially accepted order of things.
Yeah.
And that is based on, you know, things like just hyper-capitalism and competition and hustle culture and getting a job that you don't necessarily believe in, but you feel like you have to. And then you kind of get stuck in this cycle. And I feel like all of society has been really stuck in this cycle. So I think that how do you go from that mentality to being an artist, it's not the easiest jump to make, right? So I think the first stage, the first chapter of the book is called mm-hmm. The Art of Doing Nothing.
I love it.
So I think that's where you have to start, is resting and going within and learning to listen. Like, what is your body telling you to do? Like, what is your soul telling you to do? What is your heart telling you to do? How can we train ourselves to listen to that inner voice? It's kind of like listening to the intuition rather than the ego, because the ego is always on defense. It's always defensive. It's reacting to what's around it. And it's seeking self-preservation, mm-hmm. which could mean conformity and following whatever you're being told to do. Whereas the intuition is like more giving you direction towards your soul's purpose. So how do we move from listening to the ego to listening to the intuition? And for me, that starts with slowing down. That starts with meditation. With
do you do that every day? What's your meditation like? What's your daily practice? Some of your daily practices? Yeah. I'm curious.
So I meditate every day. I don't meditate for long periods of time.
Me neither.
But at times I have, you know, I've studied meditation and I've done different retreats and trainings where I've meditated for 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours at a time. So I think that going that deep, I think is really important just to get familiar with that space. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just more like 10 minutes of meditation in the morning.
Me too.
Yeah.
But I haven't done the retreats in hours at a time, but I've done some stuff.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to familiarize yourself with the terrain of that inner space. But for me, I meditate every morning. The first thing I do just to tune into, you know, stillness within. Mm-hmm. And then I start writing. I pretty much just kind of tune in to what's trying to come through.
Yeah.
And meditation helps me just tune into that space.
Do you fall off your practices and then come back, or are you pretty diligent?
I have sat down to write, meditate and sat down to write every day for as long as I can remember.
Wow, that's so good.
Unless there's some kind of a travel, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm not like religious about it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel good unless I do that.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, yes, it's discipline, I guess. I have a Capricorn rising, so I'm very disciplined. But... like
that. Okay.
But for me, it's also the excitement of I get excited by not knowing what I could write that day, that morning. Mm-hmm. Like I get excited for that unknown of what I could write. Like anyone at any moment in time could sit down and write a sentence that's never been written before, which is quoted in 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Like everyone has that potential. Like there are some things that maybe like Shakespeare wrote that people are still quoting. And guess what? One day someone just sat down and wrote that, right?
They just sat down and wrote it.
We could all do that at any time. There's no knowing like what could come out of you. So I get excited about that every day where it's like, I might write something that is like the coolest thing I've ever written. So I'm motivated by that anticipation of what could happen. And I get excited by that. So for me, there's like, it's discipline in a way, but there's also nothing else I'd rather be doing.
Yeah. You have a lot of quotes in your book too. And mm-hmm. I can tell you love quotes. Does anything leap to mind as one of your very favorites?
Quotes are funny because like, it's often just like people say a lot of things and then there could be similar things that many people said and yet it gets attributed to one person.
Sure.
Which I don't love. It's like, oh, someone else said something similar. It's like, well, ideas are, you know, all over, but then when you can phrase something in just the right way where it becomes this memorable quote, then it becomes something that really can make an impact and like stick with people. So I think the best quotes are in a book called The Tao Te Ching.
Well, we should talk about that. I wrote that down and you have a recommended translation by Stephen Mitchell, which I already put in my Amazon cart.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably my favorite book. And that's a book that's very good for tapping into the yin of creativity and even like the art of doing nothing and listening.
I've read it, but it's been such a long time that I kind of forgot about it. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah, it's an ancient book that, you know, Taoism is essentially what we have surviving from ancient Chinese shamanism. It's attributed to a sage named Lao Tzu, but it is most likely that was just the name given to the, like Homer was the gate, you know, there was all these, Greek myths that just had been around for centuries and they just attributed them to this man named Homer.
Yeah.
You most likely never actually existed.
I didn't know that.
So I feel like Lao Tzu is similar to that, where maybe he was a real man, but it doesn't really matter. It's just like, that is the sage that they have attributed to this work of art that is thousands of years old.
Yeah.
But what's so great about the Tao Te Ching is it's so it's so poetic. Mm-hmm. And it's so old that it's like an essential book on the yin and yang of life and how true power comes from softening, you know, and there's so many counterintuitive truths in life where it's sometimes it's like, oh, if someone's coming at you, instead of fighting them, you can just step aside and they'll fall over themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this, like, you know, Taoism was like a precursor to Zen and to Buddhism. So it's kind of like the most ancient wealth of knowledge of some of those, you know, ancient Chinese belief systems. Mm-hmm. So that book is something that I return to again and again throughout my life.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about words. Mm. So your name, your moniker is Words or Vibrations. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I am a big proponent of how powerful our words are, especially when we voice them mm-hmm. or write them. Mm-hmm. So are you really careful about the words that you use, and how has that developed for you?
I hope I'm careful with the words that I use, but I feel like I'm getting even more careful with the words
cool.
I use.
Cool. Me too.
Because I feel like every word that you speak or write truly is a vibration. And what I mean by that is, you know, words are spells. You know, when you spell a word, you are casting a spell. Because I'm saying something that is being received by you and being received by people listening to this. Mm-hmm. And then that is actually planting a seed in their consciousness. And I'm like, well, what seeds am I planting? You know, what seeds are we all planting? So our language, I feel like language really is the operating system that we use to interact with reality. And I think that it's hard to experience something or feel something that we don't have the language to describe. So I think that being intentional with our words is how we can intentionally show up in our lives in every way. And knowing that we're all making an impact. Everything that we do, our thoughts, our words, our actions, there's a ripple effect around us. So it's like, what is the ripple effect that's vibrating around you at any given moment? Mm-hmm. 'Cause people feel that. And there's an effect that we all have. So I think it's so important to show up with intention and to show up with purpose and to be living examples of the meme that we want to spread in the world.
Yeah. How do you talk to yourself? Do you do it out loud or is it mostly internal or what is that like?
Hmm. I have gotten a lot better at speaking to myself kindly. I remember when I wrote my first book, it was called Shit Your Ego Says.
Mm-hmm. I don't have it. I'm going to have to get that.
And that's, you know, the title is Shit Your Ego Says because at that time in my life, my ego was saying a lot of shit. I had a lot of negative self-talk.
You had a lot of substances going on too, though, I think, because in your book you talk about alcohol, caffeine, cocaine, like different things that can impact our chemistry in our brain. And
sure. I mean, I was living in New York City at that time, working in the advertising industry.
Yeah.
Like a lot of hustle and bustle.
You can take your shoes off if you want to. Yeah,
okay. Thank you. Yeah, so I was living in New York, people drink a lot in New York. People, yeah, I mean, I was surrounded by like not the best influences, and New York is a very egocentric city. It's like going back to that, you know, the hustle mentality and that mindset. It's very competitive. It's very, it can be a toxic environment, in a lot of places. So I really had to recognize that. Oh, that is just my ego talking. That is not. It was a big breakthrough to realize that not everything that you think is true. You know, the mind can be a million different things. And sometimes the ego is just, you know, working on overdrive and giving you like this negative self-talk. And if you're not careful, if you're not mindful, you're just going to believe that and you're just going to beat yourself up. And I used to do that. And when I realized that my ego was not me, and that there was actually, like, I could actually tune into a deeper, quieter voice of intuition, I really learned that when I would start to think negatively about myself and give myself negative feedback, I would catch myself and be like, no, that's not allowed here anymore. And really train myself to be kinder to myself.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a discipline to that, but there's also a softening where you're like, I deserve to be happy and I deserve to have inner peace. And I'm not going to let myself sabotage my own inner peace, because no one is going to give you inner peace other than yourself. You have to carve out that space yourself. So for me, I had to be very disciplined in no longer letting the ego be the driver of my life, mm-hmm. to tune that volume down, to tune up the volume of my intuition and my heart, and just soften into being kinder to how I treat myself. And then that has a ripple effect in how I treat others and how I allow others to treat me. When your first relationship is your relationship with yourself. So when you learn to love yourself and treat yourself kindly, you're going to show up for people that same way. And you're going to essentially demand that other people show up for you in that same way as well, if they're going to be around. So all love starts with self-love. And I think that our relationship with ourselves is, you know, where all our other relationships, relationship dynamics stem from.
Yeah. When did you have the realization that the words were so powerful?
You know, it's been an ongoing thing. Honestly, like, I changed my Instagram name to Words Are Vibrations.
What was it before?
It was Shit Your Ego Says.
Oh, okay.
So it was it was the name of my first book.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I just had this idea of Words Are Vibrations. It just popped into my head and I just changed it.
Yeah.
Like, without even thinking about it. So it wasn't even like this, when I did it, it wasn't even some grand statement. It was just literally spontaneous.
Did it feel kind of good to take ego even out of that?
That's exactly why I did it, because
yeah.
The word shit and the word ego
right.
were both in my name. And even though it was kind of a joke, it was a jokey thing. Mm-hmm. The words were still those words.
That doesn't matter.
That's
yes.
still the vibration that I'm putting out.
Totally.
So I think it all happened subconsciously, but I was like, no, I'm just going to change it to Words Are Vibrations. And I didn't even think much about it. And I think I've, that was a couple of years ago, or like more like 4 years ago. And then I've just, like, little by little started to live up to the standard that name set for myself.
It's a funny thing, because then you're like calling it in. I mean, you're seeing that every day. It's having an impact. So, like, it can work both ways, feel like.
Totally.
It does for me.
Totally. So I love doing things like quickly and spontaneously. I think there's something.
I love that.
I think, like, creativity is, there's something spontaneous about the creative process.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at, you know, like a jazz band, it's all spontaneous. You know, they're just trusting their instinct in the moment. Or like a freestyle rapper. It's like, you can't plan that in advance.
Right.
Or even a dancer. Like, you don't have, when you're dancing, you don't have time to premeditate the dance moves. You've got to just go and keep going and let it flow in the moment.
Those are some of my favorite examples. Yeah. Like, because it's this balance between the discipline of learning it and then the act of allowing it the freedom. It's one of my favorite quotes. When I was asking yours, I was like, what's mine? And I think it's Charlie Parker, and it's, you know, learn all the chords, learn the notes, and then forget all that shit and just play, you know? And that's that counterintuitive thing. Like, I want this freedom, but it's like, are you going to sit down and meditate every day so you can have it?
Sure. Yeah. Or if you want to be a good dancer again, like, you need to initially learn the dance moves.
Right.
You need to
do
take
some pliés.
Time to, like, practice and learn them until your body memorizes them. And then you can let them go. And then you can just act on instinct. Mm-hmm. So I try not to overthink things, and I try to trust myself in the moment. And that's what's fun about social media is like, yeah, sometimes like I'll post something that I wrote weeks ago and it's been sitting there and I've had time to sit with it. But sometimes I like just to have an idea and just post it immediately just because it feels like something is trying to get out.
I love that. Yeah. Do you notice a difference like in the response when it's just something that is just like off the cuff coming from you? Like, does that
if I do evoke... I do something in the moment, it tends to resonate.
Yeah,
you know, because what I'm doing is I'm tapping into the collective consciousness. Or like, I think we all are. And that's kind of my creative process in a lot of ways is trying to tap into the collective consciousness and be a voice for that, right? So
you do a really good job of it. Right. I mean, I look through your memes sometimes and I'm just like, oh my gosh, they're just so good. You know,
I try not to just say what I want to say. I try to, and this is where meditation helps. I try not to think too much about it. I try to feel into it. So I try to feel into how I'm feeling. What is my body telling me? Like what message am I getting? What is the universe trying to tell me? Because I think when you do that and you listen rather than think, and you feel rather than think, you're actually tuning into a collective experience. You're tuning into the energetics in that moment. So that's my creative process, is to tune into the energetics of the moment, which I believe we are all connected to. So I'm trying to give a mouth and a voice to what I'm feeling in that moment, what I'm sensing in the energetic field, whatever that means. And when I do that, it's not coming from my ego or my mind, it's coming from a deeper place where more people can relate to it. So for me, I'm not trying to think about what I can say that's clever. I'm trying to listen to what I'm being called to say or what's needed to be said to articulate the energetics in the world at any given moment, if that makes sense.
It really does. Yeah. And you captured something I feel like I've been trying to do. And when I am able to, it does resonate more. And I'm just thinking particularly of my social media, but sometimes I keep a little list on my notes of all these different ideas or whatever. And if I'm feeling a little bit like, what do I want to say? You know, I could go in there, but the times that I've gone there and pulled something, it's not, it doesn't resonate the way sometimes. Now I'm trying to train myself to just sit for a second. And like, just feel, and then something comes.
Yeah.
But it's giving it that moment rather than forcing it, which is a lot of what you're talking about here in the yin and yang.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I think that, and that it's some of that is trust and surrender
God, the lessons of my life.
Surrendering to, you know, something beyond you or, you know, And trusting what comes through.
Yeah.
For me, that's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things you talked about in the book too, and I hadn't really thought of it like this, is you equate finding your why mm-hmm. with your intention. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's, I don't know why I didn't put those two together, because they do say find your why, but it is the same as your intention.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think of it like, even like for social media, because mm-hmm. I think most people listening are on social media, you know, all of this stuff, you know, we're talking about art and that sounds daunting sometimes. Just like bring it down to the level of your social media, right? Maybe you're not painting the Sistine Chapel, right? Like you're not,
most of us aren't.
You're not like writing a play. I mean, maybe you are, but you are creating social media content, and that's just as important. And that's every bit as much art as these other things. So think about your social media page. What's your intention behind the page? Like, what's your intention behind your account? And really think about that. Like, what is your intention? What is the purpose of your page? Mm-hmm. If someone goes to your page, what is the energetic imprint that they're receiving? So I think it's really important to start with your intention. You know, like,
yeah, mine's like, I want to be as real and authentic as possible. Yeah. And like, that is important to me. And that's why I named it Real Amy Edwards. It's kind of a joke, because how much is really real on social media?
Yeah.
You know,
totally. So. But still, yeah. And I try to offer, you know, inspiration and healing through art and humor.
You know, I love it.
And,
yes.
And
which
if,
you do.
And if I'm going to post something, that's like a vibe check. It's like, does what I'm posting align with my intention? And if it doesn't, why am I posting it? You know what I mean? So.
And then there's a little ego check in there too sometimes. Yeah. Is it like, oh, because I look really good here, or this seems clever, or I think this is of the moment. You know, whatever it is. I don't
know. Yeah. And you can, you know, you can have you can have a big enough intention that can, you know, be an umbrella for a lot of different types of content.
Sure.
You don't want to limit yourself per se, but you do want to guide yourself. You want to have a North Star for why you're creating. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would recommend for everyone listening is like, what's your North Star for your social media? You know, why do you create, why do you show up to create every day? What is the imprint you're trying to have on the world? And if it doesn't align with that, then maybe you shouldn't be posting it.
Yeah. And would you say that can differ between different social media platforms? Because mine kind of does. Like my TikTok, I feel like is just a little different. Like I don't put my podcast content on there. I just really just want to have little inspirational things that, you know,
yeah,
guide people to their own magic.
I think there are nuances with all the social media platforms. I mean, what works on, you know, Twitter and TikTok are just two very different worlds.
Yeah.
You know? So there are nuances to how we show up on different social media platforms. But I think that your own purpose and your own intention for your life is kind of going to apply to them all. So yeah, I mean, sometimes you can be, oh, this is where I just do more personal reflections.
Sure.
And this is where I do more like, produced content.
Yeah.
You know, you can express yourself in very different ways on different social media platforms. But I think having an overarching intention for how you're showing up in the world is going to give you more direction and purpose, regardless of the platform that you're using to express.
I really just was thinking again about how you changed your name just quickly from your subconscious. That's really cool.
Yeah. There's probably a lot of examples like that in my life where I've just like made a decision in the spur of the moment. Like
when
we moved to Austin, you know, we were living in LA and we were driving down the Pacific Coast Highway and we were happy in Topanga. We really liked it there. But you know, it was fire season. There was fires and it felt a little bit unsafe to be in LA during the pandemic, but we still loved it there. And we were planning to stay there and we were driving down the highway and I just turned to Britta, my wife. And I was just like, or we could just move to Austin. I had never thought about moving to Austin. I didn't know anyone in Austin. I had never been to Austin. Those words just came out of my mouth and I wasn't even serious. And then she said, oh, maybe we should. And then with literally 2 months later, we're living in Austin. Wow. There was no reason for us to be there. It was just an spur of the moment instinct. And this is why I think it's so important to cultivate your intuition.
I love it.
Because when you cultivate your intuition, these insights will come through. Because moving to Austin was one of the best decisions we ever made. Just in terms of the community we were introduced to and meeting so many amazing people and finding a supportive network. So,
and you said it out loud.
I said it
loud. Rather, I think that so many times we can stifle those thoughts, you know, like they come to us and then you just sort of like, I'll just put that over here in my mind.
Yeah. We want something that's, I mean, when ideas come in, they're not concrete yet. It's just a whisper, right? It's like, now it's a reality, right? Now I'm living in it. But when that came through, it was just a whisper. And it would have been very easy for me to ignore that whisper.
Or just to rationalize it away, like, everybody's talking about Austin right now.
Yeah,
and I heard it on a podcast.
I didn't even know that. But it was just like when words or vibrations came in. Like, that was not a reality. That was just a whisper. Like, that, I'd never heard that before. I never thought about that before. I was like, I'm going to do that. Like, you've got to trust the whispers that come through. That's why it's so important to always be listening and discerning, like, what am I hearing? What am I feeling?
Yes.
Because that's when the best ideas come through, when you least expect it, because you've trained your consciousness to be sensitive, to listen to the muse, the universe as they speak. And then that can radically change your life.
Big time.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I've realized and that I say about meditation too, is that I feel like I'm just training myself to shut my brain up when I need it. And I need a lot. And it's just been really helpful in that. But it's that training of intuition, that training to listen. And
Yeah. And one thing I say is, a mind that's too full of information has no space for inspiration.
I saw that in your book. Yes.
So there's so much clutter in our minds, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when we're watching the news, we're spending so much time on social media. There's so much information intake that it clutters the mind. And then there's no room for intuition to come through. So yeah, don't ignore what's happening in the world, but your inner peace and having a clear mind are non-negotiable. And you have to start there and be very, have energetic boundaries and have mental boundaries of what you allow into your space, what you allow into your mind. And another thing I say in the book is, train your mind to dwell on beautiful thoughts.
That's so cool.
That's another way of, like, there's an element of discipline involved, but you're creating discipline to protect your own consciousness. So you let in things that are either beautiful or beneficial. So just cultivating healthy mental soil, because whatever the mind is like a soil, right? Whatever we plant is going to grow. So if we're only planting, you know, like toxic, you know, news and politics and bickering conversations with, you know, in our relationships, you know, that's only going to plant, and that's what's going to come out of our actions, right? So I'm a big believer in planting good seeds in the soil, whether that's, you know, consuming more art or, you know, spending more time in nature, limiting your media consumption, limiting the kinds of, you know, toxins and chemicals that we allow into our body through food and things like that. Just cultivating healthy soil so that you have the space to tune into the voice of intuition when it speaks. And, you know, you have that inner world that is a sanctuary, even when outside it and around you, the world seems to be on fire. Because I believe that we can better show up to serve others when we have first served ourselves. So when we want to save the world, so to speak, we're doing so from a place of inner wholeness and stability, which puts us in a better position to serve.
Do you want to mic drop that? Do you want to drop the mic?
I can't drop this mic. Don't drop that, because one. It's on. I could unscrew it and then drop it.
Yes. Well, it deserved a mic drop. That was really beautifully said and agreed, you know, like, and it's a matter of training, and we accidentally can train ourselves for the things that don't serve us so many times. Mm. And so paying attention and getting intentional about all that is just crucial.
Yeah.
To our own peace.
Yeah.
Which, that's what happiness is to me, like finding peace even when it's tumultuous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, we have been recording about an hour. I wanted to ask you, one of the exercises, you have little exercises in the book, which I love. I love little to-do items. One of them is to write a billboard. What is your billboard today, right now?
Yeah, so this is a great exercise for distilling your message, whatever your message is, down to its essence. So this applies to things like social media, right? Like, what are you posting? Like, what do you have to say? What is your message in the world? Mm-hmm. Because a billboard is so short. Like, it's a great exercise to, like, this is why I used to work in branding, where I would create brand messaging and taglines and names, where you have to distill something down to a tagline, which is only a few words. So that's a great exercise for creatives, even for making social media content. So I always have my students, like, write your billboard. Like, pretend you've got a billboard in Los Angeles that millions of people every year are going to pass by and read. You can put any message on this billboard. What's your message? What are you putting on that? What is your, you know, 6-word, 1-sentence message for the world? And,
it's like, be here now, right? Like that, yeah. You know, that Ram Dass is, you know, just like, This says so much.
Yeah. So for me right now, honestly, I would want to get everyone just to tune into the stillness of their body and just to drop in to how they're feeling. So I would do some kind of a like take a breath kind of thing.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Just to give everyone a moment just to pause, time out, take a deep breath, drop into your body. Let's please do.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah. So everyone take a deep breath. That's my billboard.
Oh, that's really, really nice. Yeah. I mean, and it forces you to distill your thoughts into something so clear. I was writing a song one time and I had all these words and I told the producer and he goes, "So it just sounds like you're saying we do what we want." And I was like, shit, yeah. You know, and sometimes it just takes that outside perspective of somebody to just go, "So you're just saying this." We get too close to it sometimes.
Yeah.
At least I do. I do. I can get way too close to it. Yeah. That was such and that moment has stuck with me so hard because I am like, remember that you can get way too many words up in here. And if you can just sit for a second and like, what am I really trying to say?
And I will say this for the ego, because editing is an important part of the creative process.
Yeah, you have a section on editing in here.
So I love spontaneity, and I think that creativity should be spontaneous, but there is a place for editing. And I think this is how I am able to appease my ego to get out of the way during the creative process. Because when I'm trying to download ideas, when I'm trying to be spontaneous, or I'm trying to feel into my emotions to decide what to write, it's best for the ego not to get too involved in that process. So I kind of make a deal with my ego. I say, listen, this is not your time to shine. I need to like talk to the muse right now. I need to communicate with my intuition. So like you can take a back seat, but I'm going to give you a chance to fact check and to review and to edit anything that you want. So when it's time to actually, you know, refine things, like distilling your message down to a billboard, that's when the ego actually has an important role, because the ego is clever and the ego is a strategist, and the ego likes to engineer things. So there's a role for that in the creative process towards the end, when it's refinement and craftsmanship and simplification and editing. So I always make a deal with my ego. I'm like, you let my intuition handle this part, and then you're going to get a chance to go over everything and add your two cents. Mm-hmm. So it just helps for me when you're trying to distill something to really, yeah, what is the essence of what you're trying to say? How can you say it even more simply?
Yeah. What I love about that too is that we're not denying the existence of ego. Like, it's going to be there whether you like it or not. And I think so many times it gets like, oh my God, I'm overcoming my ego or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And instead you're like, hey, here's a constructive way to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have your own talents. So here you go.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of like making friends with your ego.
Yeah.
You know, because the ego is so important. It's our sense of identity in the world. And you can have an overdeveloped ego where like you just think that you're so great and you have an inflated sense of self, but you can also have an underdeveloped ego where you don't think enough of yourself. And then you're afraid to, you know, show up in the world and actualize your God-given purpose because you don't have a strong enough ego to hold that. So I think for me, the ego is about balance. You don't want an underdeveloped ego, but you don't want an overdeveloped ego. It's about making friends and knowing the particular relationship you want to have with that part of yourself.
Yeah. And having that way of like at least looking at it and laughing or whatever and just acknowledging, you know, like, cause it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just okay.
It's just okay.
And that's my billboard today. It's all okay. It's all okay.
Yes.
Like there's shit I didn't get done. It's okay.
Yeah.
I was tired.
Give yourself a break.
I showed up. It's okay. You know, like it's all okay.
I like it.
I do too. Oh, good. I got your approval.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I think this is probably my last question, but do you have a favorite meme that, like, you just like, if somebody said, show me a meme of yours, like, which one are you showing them? Would it be like your most recent, or would it be, do you have a go-to?
It depends. You know, I feel like the meme that I made that had the biggest, like, cultural impact, it was very simple. It just said, be the glitch that you want to see in the Matrix.
Yeah.
And, like, I just wrote that, like, again, like, I don't remember writing it. It was just like one day it just came out, you know, it wasn't even I didn't think anything of it. But then I saw people at rallies and protests, like, with that, like, on a sign.
They were
tagging me on social media.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, wow. That's like one little thought that I had is now, like, people are carrying it around on signs
and
public.
And you were the glitch that you wanted to see in the Matrix.
Right.
That's weird.
So I feel like that is just a simple phrase that's had maybe the biggest cultural impact.
Yeah.
If I can say that.
You can. You sure can. You should say that. It's not your ego overinflated. No.
No.
Absolutely. Well, I want to just say a huge thank you for being here today. Is there anything that we didn't get to that you wanted to talk about today? Or anything that maybe is springing to mind that you would like to reiterate?
Honestly, I just want to, like, send so much love out to people listening to this. Like, I just feel like we're all, like, it's being a human in this day and age is not the easiest thing in the world.
When was it easy?
Yeah. You're right. My mantra lately is, being human is hard. Please be kind.
Oh, I love that.
So I just want to, like, send some love out to everyone listening to this. Like you deserve love. You deserve to feel good about yourself and your relationships and the world that you live in. So I'm just holding that space for you, and I hope you will hold that space for me. And Amy, I'm holding that space for you, and I know you're holding that space for
Absolutely.
Me. And when we all just hold space for each other to be in a field of love, I feel like that just, you know, the network effect of all of us doing that together just can't be understated.
Yeah.
So your impact in the world matters, and when you choose to live in a place of love and act from a place of inner peace, it's like that will be felt by those around you. And when we can all do that together, there's power in numbers. So I just want to send that message of love out to everyone listening to this.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. Thank you. It brought tears to my eyes. It just really moved me. Mm-hmm. I could feel it. The vibrations of all those words. It spoke to my soul. That's so
Thank
wonderful.
You.
So, let's say how everyone can find you. Of course, you're at Words Are Vibrations on Instagram.
Yeah.
But what else? People can go order your book, pre-order your book.
Yeah, go to the link in my bio on my Instagram, Words Are Vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go to my website, jamesmcrae.com.
And I will have a link in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and all my links are in there. And if you want to pre-order my book, I'm offering a nice bundle of free goodies to people
Ooh,
who pre-order.
What
so,
is it?
I'm going to... If you pre-order the book, which is available for pre-order now, you'll have access to a creativity video course that I taught called Awaken the Inner Artist.
I love it.
As well as an exclusive invitation to a virtual launch party that I am going to be hosting along with Young Pueblo and Layla Dahlia.
Wow. Who wrote the intro to your book?
That's right.
Well.
That's right. So.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Very mm-hmm. nice. And when is the official launch date?
The books will be sent out on February 6th.
Did you choose that date for a reason? Or
I did not choose that date.
The publisher was just like, this is your date.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's, you know, coming into spring sort of almost.
Yeah.
So The Art of You is the name of the book, February 6th. And congratulations. I'm so happy for you getting this out in the world. I know how much it takes to do any creative endeavor. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. And I hope everyone will go check out and go down the rabbit hole that is Words Are Vibrations and all the things that you are creating. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks for having me. It was great to share this time with you.
Always so wonderful. And thank you to you for being here. Anytime, I say this always, anytime we show up and we're listening to these things, change and magic is just happening. You know, you're making the choice to show up. Your inner creativity is coming out just in those moments. This is how it happens. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. And I'm just excited to see always what develops and how things ripple out into the world. So thank you so much to James for being here today. And thank you to you. I love you so much. Sign up for the newsletter if you haven't yet. And everything is at amyedwards.com or amyedwards.info. And I just love you so much. Reach out if you have something to say or just respond to my newsletter. You can always reach me there. I love you. I love you. I love you. Till next time. That is it. That is the wrap.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.